today on Real Radio.
If you can do what you think you're about to do because you've got that skill set, it's probably you doing it. Good luck. Awesome. Just know it's you doing it. But if you step out to do something that it's not you, and you believe God is leading you to do that, one of the sure ways of finding out if God's in it is his power shows up. And there's nothing like having his power. It's precious.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you so much for being with us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel were beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 42 and the first seven verses of Isaiah 43, we learn that God's man for the ages is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, bringing the gift of salvation for all who will receive him. So today, on day two of Isaiah chapter 43, Pastor Jack tells us that our day-to-day living is to be a reflection of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And when we're put in a place to share our faith, we don't have to worry over the right words. The Lord will give us the power to share our faith whenever we need it. And now, continuing his lesson called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When there's a difficulty in our lives, it will either do one of two things. It will, number one, it will expose the weakness of our faith, and it will cause us to, you know, actually take inventory and say, my goodness, I need to get stronger. A lot of people experience this when they go to churches that don't teach the Bible. They have a life lived, they have easy street for a while, and they go to a church that doesn't get into the Bible, that's very fun maybe, it's a very social gathering type of a church, it's a beautiful facility and people, but there's no word. The greatest foundation is the Word of God. And then when a storm hits, you reach back for security and for power and for insight and wisdom for what you're going through, and you have nothing. And that is one of the most terrifying feelings ever in life, is when your life gets hit and you have no foundation. The Word of God is our only foundation. I told you before, I'm standing on this placard right now. That's exactly what it says underneath my feet. It's 1 Corinthians 3:11, that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is Christ Jesus. That's what it says underneath my feet. And I like that. I like that. When the earth shakes, you've got Jesus. When everything's going on, you've got Jesus. And when that is so set in your life, and the doctor tells you the news, or the terrorist is going to cut your head off, or the, in this state, the politicians are going to take all your money called taxes, and you're left with nothing. You have nothing left. The Christian who is the martyr has everything left. Because you can take our head, you can take our money, you can take what we have. Those things don't define us. Those things are not our existence. I love that. I just absolutely love that. And if they take our lives, what did Paul say? To live for Christ, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is such, obviously, an inspired, Holy Spirit-sent statement that there's nothing that can ward that off. There's nothing that can defeat that. So if the doctor, in a sense, brings you a pink slip and says, you know, this cancer is going to kill you, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you imagine? If you're going through that right now, you tell the doctor next time you see him, well, Fred, it's not looking any better for you. Well, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He'll say, what? And you have a little Bible study right there in his office. Tell him all about it. If a terrorist grabs you and says, we're going to, you know, deny Jesus or if you don't, we're going to cut your head off. Well, you're just going to expedite my glory. Just do it really good. Think about it. That's what they did to the Apostle Paul. They cut his head off. And what did he say? He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You want to make a Christian happy? If you're going to terrorize him, if you're going to kill him, you're only sending him to heaven. Just put a first-class stamp right on his forehead. FedEx. Think about it. Where are you going to go when you die? You're going to go to see Jesus. And it's going to be really good. All this is over. Can you imagine? It's all over. It's all over. Now your life begins. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Paul, we're going to kill you. Praise the Lord. Wait, what did he say? He said, pray. He's all happy because you're going to kill the Apostle Paul. Well, then let him live. To live is Christ. Well, he's all happy about that too? Well, then forget it. Kill him. To die is gain. You can't stop someone like this. You understand? It's impossible. That's being a witness. It doesn't have to be death. It's just day-to-day living. And all the stuff that's going on in our lives. We're to be a witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When was the last time when was the last time you sensed the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you? Jesus said it would happen. And when it would happen, you would report the record. You would report, you would give witness, you would bear testimony to him. Some of you in this room would say, I sensed his power yesterday when I shared with the mailman. I sensed his power in the classroom when the teacher challenged about this, or I sensed his power when I was standing out in front of the Planned Parenthood praying. I sensed God's power. Some of you would say tonight, and you love the Lord, but you'd say tonight, I've never sensed any power. Well, let me ask you something. Did you ever put yourself in a position where you needed power? I only put gas in my lawnmower when I plan on starting it. Are you with me? Yeah. Why would God give you power when you don't intend to drive around the block? Listen, we take our little kids right now. We take our grandkids and we let them drive the car. We put them behind the wheel. We don't even put seatbelts on them. No need for a seatbelt. We let them drive the car. In their little mind, they're driving all around town. They got the wheel. They're moving it like this. The only problem is the engine's not even on. They don't have any power. They don't need any power. You know why? They're not going to go anywhere. I know that. You see the difference? Now, all of a sudden, if that kid starts that car, at least I hope he has a seatbelt on. Why? Because now he's going places. You see what I'm saying? Well, I want to see the power of God. Do you want to see the power of God? Or do you want to be a witness for God? Because God's not he's not a Santa Claus puppet. He's not a genie. Go to Disney if you want a genie, right? Go to Aladdin's workshop or something. But God, listen, God wants to give us power if we intend to do something with it. And every one of you as believers, you have the ability, you have the story to tell about what God has done in your life. And when you determine, Lord, I want to be a witness for you, then comes the power. He'll never send you out alone. He'll never send you out powerless. Can I encourage you? It's not going to sound like it's encouraging, but I want to encourage you. When you put yourself in the place where you're terrified and you can't do what you're about to embark upon, you're in just the right spot. If you can do what you think you're about to do because you've got that skill set, it's probably you doing it. Good luck. Awesome. Just know it's you doing it. But if you step out to do something that it's not you, and you believe God is leading you to do that, one of the sure ways of finding out if God's in it is his power shows up. And there's nothing like having his power. It's precious. What's amazing to me, you guys, is we all love Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but the promise is remarkable because it's from right here, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. We thought it was a church thing. It originated with the Jews in Israel. Did you know that? You will be my witnesses, the Lord says. We pick up on that promise. Know this, church, Israel, and as you sit and watch the news and as you see an Israeli product or an Israeli flag flying, you just step back and know something. Wow, I'm living in a miracle right now. because God is going to use those people as evangelists in the last days. Specifically, listen up. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles or mark it down in Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 4, Revelation 7, is God done with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people? Answer, impossible for him to be done. He's got a major work yet to do with them. Now, for some of you who may not know, let me make this really clear. When you look at the church age, the church was born in the book of Acts. And do you remember how the church was born, anybody? What's that? What is that festival day called? It's an Old Testament festival, by the way. Thank you. The day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, a Jewish festival from the Old Testament, Leviticus, I think, chapter 23, from that, during that event, that celebration, that feast, it just so happens the Holy Spirit came down and the church was born on that day in Jerusalem. Read the book of Acts, first three chapters to be detailed. From that time, the church has run with the gospel as God's witness to the ends of the earth, right? It's been 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit came down, and the Holy Spirit's been here ever since. Jesus said he would stay here once he came. And he's with, listen, he's in the world convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, the Holy Spirit. People are convicted. People have a conscience pricked by the Holy Spirit. The church is comforted and gifted and loved on by the Holy Spirit. You as a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know when the rapture happens, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, Revelation 4, 1, John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3? You know when that happens? The Holy Spirit, when you read Old and New Testament together, the Holy Spirit, just as he came down on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's the one that presents the body of Christ to Jesus at his rapture in the atmosphere. Read it later, 1 Thessalonians 4. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave the earth. Some people teach that. Well, who's going to get saved after the Holy Spirit takes the church away? What a silly question. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, more people are going to be saved during the tribulation period than any human can ever count. Joel tells us, and the book of Acts tells us, that the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on his people. The Holy Spirit's not going anywhere. But it's the Holy Spirit's job that when he came down to empower the church and indwell the believers, that the Holy Spirit presents the believers back to Christ at his appearing. It's very clear in Scripture. Once the church is out of here, and the church has to be out of here, God owes Israel 7 years. It's very clearly outlined in the book of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. When Jesus Christ was crucified, that ended a certain period of time, and it left 7 years unfinished by design. And you know that. The tribulation period is how long? By design, 7 years. And who's the key player in the tribulation period on earth? The nation of Israel. It's focused on the Jewish people, just like Daniel promised. It's crystal clear. It is a non-Gentile church event. That's why, friends, in the tribulation period, when you study your Bible, church is never mentioned anywhere. There's the tribulation saints, tribulation believers, who became believers. How? Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. John says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. And he goes down, 12 tribes, 12,000 each. All the tribes of Israel accounted for there. Listen to this. Revelation 14, verse 1. So from Revelation 7, go to Revelation 14, verse 1. John says, then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder, like yesterday in Chino Hills. Awesome. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. And these are the ones who were not defiled with women. What does that mean? Listen, listen. Are you a Jehovah's Witness here tonight? I love you, but you've been lied to. Because you know how your doctrine teaches that there's 144,000 faithful JWs that are the ones. Well, did you know the Bible says that you, number one, you got to be, to be 144,000, you got to come out of the one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? And you can't be defiled with women. You have to be a virgin. You have to be a man, according to the Bible, to be of the 144,000. Our Jehovah's Witness friends were never told that. For they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. 144,000. The Bible goes on to tell us that from the evangelism of 100, can you imagine 144,000 Paul the Apostles running around on earth with the internet? Can you imagine 144,000 of these guys tweeting? You think Trump tweets? Just wait till these guys start tweeting, man, the gospel. Think about that. The gospel's going to go, it's going to be amazing. Wow. And multitudes are going to be saved during that period of time. That's amazing to me. Back to Isaiah 43. Thus says the Lord, verse 14, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, speaking to Israel, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your God. Thus says the Lord, verse 16, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Verse 18, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a reference to the millennium. When Christ comes back, he restores the wilderness places. To give drink to my people, my chosen. This is not the church. It's Israel. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. See, they've never done that. Church, they've never done that in history. They will do it. Their day's coming. But you have not called upon me. Now he looks back. Isaiah looks back at Israel's present existence in his day. You've not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been a weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for the burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. Verse 24, you have bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities. And right then and there, you would say, wow. And at that period is God's assessment of the nation to this day. Even though he's brought them back into the land and they're a real country. And the gospel, by the way, is being preached more in Israel right now than it has in thousands of years. It's amazing. Churches, believing churches, fellowships of Jewish fellowships are growing right now. It's amazing. They are still as a nation alienated from God. That verse, you read verse 24 and you could just sign right next to it, this is Israel today. Because it is true, but it's not going to stay there. Look what happens, verse 25. And this, by the way, begins to prepare us. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I'll come back to this in a second. And I will not remember your sins. And look at the opening part of verse 26. Put me in remembrance. You know why this is a precious thing and why we did this up front tonight before communion in Isaiah? It was perfect for us tonight. Jesus said regarding communion, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that? Yes. That audience that night in that upper room, remember, those boys were Jewish students of the scriptures. They knew the word. They would have known. He's referring to Israel mentioned in Isaiah 43, remembrance. And in the context of remembering him, listen, the Jewish mind, in context of remembering him, we remember him in light of the context of Isaiah 43. He's the one that takes away our sins. If you ask any Jewish people today, what are you doing about your sins? They don't have a temple to take sacrifices to. They don't accept Jesus as the Lamb of God. They say their good works will erase their sins, but they know that that doesn't fly with Moses in the Old Testament. They've made it up. They're searching. They're hoping and wishing. They have nothing by design, by God, by design. They need to be remembering what you and I take for granted. I will not remember your sins anymore. I'll blot them out. And when you remember me, remember that. Isn't it beautiful? Did you follow that a moment ago? I'm going to do this, God says in verse 25. I'm going to do it. Look at your Bible carefully. I'm going to do it because you're such an amazing, moral, sweet, obedient people. Nope. Thank God he doesn't look at you and say, I'm going to reward you because you're so incredibly faithful to me. Nope. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our hope is that as you dig deeper into the Word of God, you'll discover that God is with you in your journey every step of the way. Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel, but God really is a very personal God. He really does have a plan for your life. That's why it's our prayer here at Real Radio that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus wants you to put your faith and trust in him. It really is a good position to be in, the best if you ask me. He's the only one that died and rose again so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you're struggling with questions about salvation, well, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has a tab at his website. It's called Know God. It's right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And it's designed to give you a clear understanding of all that God has for you and all that he's done for you. So head on over to our website and click on that tab called Know God. It's an excellent way to get your questions answered and also provide you the information you need to share Jesus Christ with others. It's all there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.